it going, Longhorn Nation? Welcome to Texas Talk, your one-stop shop for everything involving Texas Longhorns football. I'm your host, Ryan McLoon, and it is Sunday, March 3rd. Today, we will be talking about some 2025 Texas targets on the defensive side of the ball. I will also have a blog coming out sometime this week as well, going over some of these names. Before we get into it, though, be sure to subscribe. Leave us a rating wherever you're listening. Also, more importantly, tell your friends and family about us. After that, make sure to check out our website, texas-talk.com. On the website, you'll be able to find the Longhorns updated roster, depth chart, the 2024 recruiting class, transfer portal additions and departures, any trending news, plus our analysis on the team. So be sure to check all of that out. The link to the website will be in the description. All right, let's get into it, and we'll work from the back forward. So let's start with Texas's defensive back targets. We're going to group in cornerbacks and safeties because, honestly, once they get on the field or once they get into the program, they typically kind of shift around a little bit. You either go on the outside, maybe you slide into the slot, and then naturally from the slot, maybe you go into the safety role. It's kind of just a free-for-all once you get on campus. But, you know, typically we have a pretty good idea of where they're going to line up once they get in the class. But it's a little bit easier just to group them all together as defensive backs instead of guessing where Texas is going to line them up. Start off with some high-profile names. Dorian Brew is one of Texas's top targets at cornerback from Conroe, Texas. This guy, 6'2", 185 pounds. Currently, though, holds a crystal ball from Steve Wiltfong for Ohio State. Now, Ohio State has been dominating this class in terms of defensive back recruits. They currently have the top two defensive backs, including the number one cornerback, Devin Sanchez, from North Shore in Houston, Texas. Already got him on board. Already have an Alabama cornerback on board as well. They're really taking advantage of Nick Saban retiring, it looks like. And they hold a crystal ball for the top safety in the class as well. So Ryan Day, Ohio State, dominating the defensive back group so far. Dorian Brew, like I said, also has a crystal ball to Ohio State. Hopefully, though, Texas can chip away at this. And, you know, it's still pretty early in the cycle. I feel like Texas has a pretty good chance still with Dorian Brew. Kind of see him in the same light as Terrence Brooks that came in a couple cycles ago. 6'2", 185 pounds. I feel like he's a guy who's athletic enough as a top 20 player. I think he doesn't have to be just a boundary cornerback, just a outside boundary guy. I think he's athletic enough to be that field side as well. That's kind of what Terrence Brooks is able to do. He can kind of go in either direction there, either side of the field. Whereas a guy like Ryan Watts, who we saw could get burned at times, he was primarily only a boundary cornerback. So just kind of chipping away and getting more athletes at the defensive back position, able to play either side of the field like Malik Muhammad, or I mentioned Terrence Brooks. That is key for this Texas defense. And Dorian Brew would be a huge, huge addition to this Texas secondary. Other than him, though, Kobe Sellers is another top 150 guy who Texas is really going after. Currently, though, holds an Oklahoma crystal ball. So right now, Texas is starting off pretty slow in the defensive back market. I think this is a spot, though, where, you know, still really, really young in the cycle. And I think Texas can work their way back on one of these high-profile names that we're going to talk about. Kobe Sellers, though, a little bit smaller frame, but just as athletic, 6'1", 175. Like I said, top 150 guy. You know that he's an athlete. You know that he's talented. Oklahoma, leader in the clubhouse there right now. But Texas just has to keep chipping away at these guys and make it kind of a toss-up come National Signing Day 1. Another guy who is another elite talent, Michael Terry III, 6'3", 210 pounds. This guy is a monster athlete right now, listed as. He's a running back. He's a wide receiver. He's an outside cornerback. To me, watching him, he looks much more ready as an offensive player right now. Really, really long strider as a runner. I'm not sure if he would make a home at outside cornerback. He might transition more into a safety or maybe even a nickel. If you want a big nickel, but to me, that's kind of what I see him as, is maybe Jahdae Barron's role, but most likely just a back end safety or even just straight up a wide receiver on the offensive side. Like I said, 6'3", 210 pounds. He is athletic, but he doesn't have that insane quick burst. He's more of a long strider when he's running. So Michael Terry is a guy who I'm not sure where to put him on the football field just yet. I'm sure whatever Texas is, kind of pitching to him, I'm sure it's going to be what he ends up doing. But as of right now, I think it's too early to kind of tell what he's going to play at the next level. Another guy who is an insane athlete, but I do think he's going to make a home on the offensive side of the ball, and that's Kelshon Johnson, 5'11", 160 pounds. He's an outside cornerback and a wide receiver as well. I think he's going to be more of a wide receiver in college. Recruiting sites are already starting to put him less as an athlete, more as a straight up wide receiver. And I do think if he does go to Texas, that's what he will be playing. I just wanted to kind of mention him as well because I didn't get to him on the offensive side of the ball. So when we talked about that last week, so wanted to bring him up. Couple more here. We'll talk about Jonte Gilbert is a Clemson Crystal Ball currently, but Texas is still heavily in the mix for Jonte Gilbert. 6'1", 185 pounds. He is from Georgia, though. He's the only guy not from Texas that we've talked about so far. Texas, though, is still kind of in the mix for Jonte Gilbert. Although I think it's going to be hard with him not being in the state of Texas, him currently trending towards Clemson, also on the East Coast, obviously. Don't think that Texas is really going to be able to flip this one in their favor. Last one we'll talk about is Caleb Chester, 6'1", 170 pounds. He is from Texas. He's a three-star and he currently holds a crystal ball for Texas. So wanted to get him in there. Texas at least getting, some traction in the defensive back recruiting ranks. Although it's just a three-star, you hope that that senior season kind of proves that he's worth more than just a three-star and he starts climbing up the recruiting rankings. I know On3 just updated their recruiting rankings. We are still waiting on 24/7 Sports to do their big update for this spring. When that happens, I think we'll have a lot better idea of where Caleb Chester stands heading into his senior year. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hit the linebackers. How's it going, Longhorn Nation? We are back talking about 2025 defensive targets for the Texas Longhorns, and we're talking about linebackers right now. First up, Anthony Williams, 6'3", 190 pounds, from the state of Texas, currently committed to Texas. On the tape, he is a field side outside linebacker, a little bit underweight right now at 190 pounds. He's going to have to really bulk up when he gets to the next level or even in his senior season. But right now, I think he projects as a really, really good special teams player his first maybe year, maybe 2 years. And then I think he can really fill out to be a really talented do-it-all linebacker. Like I said, right now he's playing on the field side, but if he gains another, 30 to 35 pounds, which I think his frame could allow for at 6'3", if he does that, I think he could really kind of merge into a strong side or middle linebacker and really just fill out his game and complement basically anybody on the field perfectly. So Anthony Williams is a guy who right now only a 3-star, but as these recruiting rankings continue to update, I think Anthony Williams could be a guy who continues to rise, even if it's just little by little, as his senior season kind of starts up and then how it ends. I think Anthony Williams is going to be a guy who slowly rises up the rankings little by little. Two kind of elite linebacking prospects that Texas is going after: Riley Pettijohn and Elijah Barnes. Both these guys, 6'2". Pettijohn a little bit smaller at 205 pounds, Barnes at 215 pounds, so already a pretty decent weight. I originally had Riley Pettijohn as Texas's number one linebacker target for this class. As I put that, I moved on to Elijah Barnes. Kind of feel like that he is right there with Pettijohn, honestly. And I think Texas is going to be really happy if they get both of these guys in the class. And I think it's very, very possible, almost similar to a couple of years ago when we saw them take Anthony Hill, but then follow that up with guys like Darian Gillette and Leonga Lafau. I think we can see the same thing with Pettijohn, Barnes. Obviously, Williams is already in the class. This is going to be a year where the linebacking group is going to really kind of round out for the future. Every couple of years, we kind of see this with this group. And I think this is a perfect year for Texas to strike once again. Pettijohn, though, like I said, a little bit smaller, a lot more rangy, in my opinion, as I saw. Whereas Barnes is a real thumper in the middle, and he's only 6'2", 215 pounds. He could stand to add a little bit of weight as well, but constantly we saw him kind of thump in the middle of the defense in the A gap, B gap, C gap. Whereas Riley Pettijohn, a lot of his highlights are coming in the flats. So that kind of tells you that these guys complement each other really, really well, which is, great to see. And again, kind of reminds me of that Hill LaFoe duo that we saw Texas take in the 2023 recruiting class. Only other name for linebacker I have is Jonah Williams. He's 6'3", 205 pounds from the state of Texas as well. He's a high school safety though, and some sites kind of had him listed at safety, but the more you watched and heard about him, the more you kind of thought that he's going to be a linebacker at the next level. Currently holds an Oklahoma crystal ball from Steve Wiltfong of 24/7 Sports. So it's a really big uphill battle for Texas to get this one. And like I said, although Williams is higher rated than Pettijohn and Barnes, I think I would be really happy if Texas just lands both of Pettijohn and Barnes rather than one of Jonah Williams. When I was watching Jonah Williams, though, I really did think that he could stick at safety at the next level. So I'm not sure if he'll do that at Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is a team that has Brent Venables as their head coach, former linebackers coach, elite, elite defensive mind. I could see Jonah Williams being very attracted to a spot like that where you have Brent Venables, former linebackers coach, you have the defensive coordinator who is also a former linebackers coach, and then you have their linebackers coach. So you got three really talented linebacker coaches in that Oklahoma room. I think Oklahoma is going to be a tough place to beat out for top linebacker prospects who are kind of between Texas or Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is going to win a lot of those battles because of that kind of hierarchy for the Oklahoma Sooners. But like I said, I don't think that Pettijohn and Barnes are really a consolation prize for Texas. I think it's all three of those guys are kind of 1A, B, and C for Texas. And who knows, Jonah Williams might be actually recruited as a safety for Texas. Texas does like those bigger safeties. We saw that with Derek Williams. He's a 6'2", 200-pound safety that Texas took in that 2023 recruiting class. Jonah Williams is pretty close to that as well. We see Texas is also going after, we talked about him already, but Michael Terry, 6'3", 210. A little bit of a different athlete, but same kind of vibe I get with Jonah Williams. So, kind of remains to be seen what Jonah Williams wants at the next level. And if he's getting crystal ball to Oklahoma, that kind of tells me, reading between the lines, that Jonah Williams is fine and maybe even encouraged to move to linebacker at the next level. But if he wants to stick at safety, I think Texas still has a pretty good chance with Blake Gideon being his primary recruiter. So, those are the four names that we'll talk about. Like I said, I feel really good about Texas getting one of, if not both, of Pettijohn or Barnes. And I don't think it's totally off the table if Jonah Williams does decide he wants to play defensive back. I think Texas could get right back into that recruitment. Now, let's talk about edge rushers. Texas already has one committed, and that's Lance Jackson, 6'5", 245 pounds. From the state of Texas, more specifically, Texarkana Pleasant Grove High School. Currently, Lance Jackson is listed at defensive line, but at 6'5", 245 pounds, I think he's more of kind of like that Ethan Burke role where he's kind of that hand in the dirt defensive lineman edge player, but he's going to be considered in that edge group, like Ethan Burke is, like Justice Finkley is, where, he's not going to drop back into coverage a whole lot, but he will every now and then. And, he's not going to put on another 40 pounds like we see that those defensive linemen that Texas trots out there with Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat and Alfred Collins. He is not that kind of player. He's more of an edge player for Texas. Lance Jackson has really good athleticism and incredibly long arms. That's his go-to move, kind of, is when he's rushing off the edge to kind of just long arm the offensive tackles and get around them for the sack that way. Great frame for some future development. Like I said, he could stand to maybe put on another 20 pounds. And maybe be a hand in the dirt defensive lineman, defensive end, straight up. But if he decides not to and tries to stay with that leaner frame, I think he's still athletic enough, as he is currently a tight end slash defensive lineman for his high school, Pleasant Grove. I do think that he's going to make a home at edge, though. Right now, he's still kind of listed as an athlete because I think some schools are recruiting him as a tight end, but his brother is Landon Jackson. He was first team all SEC defensive end for Arkansas last year. Lance Jackson, I think it's pretty I think it's pretty common, or a pretty common take to say that he's going to end up as a defensive end slash edge rusher as well, just like his brother, who had a really good season last year. Like I said, first team all SEC as a defensive lineman for Arkansas Razorbacks. That's really, really impressive. So, Lance Jackson is the first name on the board and pretty exciting one for Texas to already have on the boat. According to 24/7 Sports Composite, he's a top 100 player. 24/7 Sports has him as a 133rd overall like I said, they have not updated their rankings yet, so I'm kind of excited to see if he jumps up a little bit in their recruiting rankings. Two more elite edge rushing names that we'll talk about: Chad Woodfork and Kamarion Morgan. Chad Woodfork is 6'4", 220 pounds, from the state of Texas, more specifically Humble Summer Creek. He is another one who the composite has as a top 40 player, number three edge, according to the composite. 24/7 Sports is a tad lower on him. They have him at 65th overall, number seven edge. Still, Woodfork is a guy who is definitely in that Colin Simmons kind of mold, where he's got a little bit more length to him than Colin Simmons does. But 6'4", 220, he's a pure edge rusher. He's not a guy who's going to add another 40 pounds and turn into a hand in the dirt defensive end like Landon or like Lance Jackson potentially might. He is a pure edge rusher, and that's kind of what I see with Kamorian Morgan as well. 6'5", 230 pounds, from South Oak Cliff in Dallas, Texas. 24/7 Sports actually has him right next to Chad Woodfork. He is 68th overall, number eight edge. But the composite is a little bit lower on him. They have him at 124th, which is still incredibly, incredibly impressive. Both of these guys, I think Texas has a good chance on landing. If they get one of two of them paired with Lance Jackson, I think that's a huge win for Pete Kwiatkowski and these edge rushers. Edge rush has been a big problem for Texas the past couple of years. Something that Texas has really struggled with is turning pressures into sacks. We talk about it every single offseason, it feels like. Colin Simmons is a huge step towards righting that wrong, but Pete Kwiatkowski has to keep kind of hammering away at this and get some true dogs at edge rusher. I think Chad Woodfork and Kamorian Moore would both fit into that mold. And if Texas does walk away with all three of these guys, Jackson, Woodfork, and Morgan, I think that kind of turns Lance Jackson into a little bit of a pet project. You can add 40 pounds to his frame potentially and turn him into that Alfred Collins defensive tackle type of player. You could also maybe keep him slim, maybe even melt him down another 10 pounds, get him at 235-ish, and kind of keep him at tight end, or even as your kind of do it all edge rusher. If you land all three of these guys, my point being is Lance Jackson turns into a pure athlete that you can really have a lot of fun projecting into this Texas team. He could play tight end, he could play defensive lineman, he could play edge rusher, he could do all of these things because of how good of an athlete he is. I think if you only walk away with Lance Jackson in this edge class, I think you kind of have to keep him at edge because, like I said, that's a position where Texas needs to take one or two top 200 players every single year. So Lance Jackson is probably the most exciting guy in this group, but kind of just because of how much of a ball of clay he is right now, with the genes to obviously become a really good defensive end in the SEC. Only other guy this edge class that we'll talk about is Nick Townsend. He is 6'3", 220 pounds, also from the state of Texas. Like we talked about with Lance Jackson, he is an athlete in every sense of the word. Primarily gets his production on the defensive side, standing up in the A gap and the B gap. So I feel like he's a guy who needs a lot of development if you're bringing him in to play edge rusher. I think he's much too small to turn into a defensive lineman. But as an edge rusher, we just didn't see a whole lot of production from truly from the edge position. Like I said, he's kind of in all of his highlights and all of his production videos, he is standing up in the A gap or the B gap as kind of a quote unquote blitzing linebacker, kind of that Aniba kind of player. You saw that a lot with Jadeveon Clowney for the Baltimore Ravens last year. Really fun to kind of toy around with, but in terms of every single play, you kind of need a guy who can line up and just dominate their side of the ball or their position. And then once they can do that, then you can move them around. Jadeveon Clowney did that for the Baltimore Ravens. That's why it works so well. But if all you are is a gimmick kind of blitzing edge rusher, I don't think it'll work as well. So he'll need some development if you take him as an edge rusher. But I think Texas could also kind of look at him in that tight end position. Speaking of the tight end position, we talked about that last week. Like we said, Amari Winston, they already have in the class, but he might be more of an H-back. So we think that they're going to take somebody else. I mentioned Ke'Dotie Armstrong. I said that they didn't offer him. That is completely false. I kind of overlooked. He was listed as an athlete because he's also an edge rusher. Texas has offered him, and they are in a really good spot for Ke'Dotie Armstrong. I do think he's going to stay at tight end, but right now he's still listed as an athlete, and that's why I overlooked him when seeing who Texas offered. So just wanted to clear that up a little bit too, so you're not getting some misinformation on my end. So Ke'Dotie Armstrong, Nick Townsend, I think these are guys who are maybe going to be tight ends if Texas ends up getting either of them on board. But I think both of them could kind of slide in as edge rushers as well. Kind of depends on what Texas needs, like I talked about. And it kind of depends on what they're looking for, because I'm sure they're not going to come to Texas. This used to happen in the past, but I feel like nowadays with the transfer portal, you just can't get away with it as much. They're not going to come to Texas promised to be tight ends, and then Texas is going to go ahead and throw them in the edge rushers group. That just won't happen unless there's a very open dialogue about it potentially happening. Just with this age in the transfer portal, if a guy wants to play edge rusher or wants to play tight end at the next level, he's simply just going to do that somewhere where he can. You know, he doesn't have to go to Texas. He could maybe drop down a level of competition if he wants to go to Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU. I'm sure places like that will allow kind of, they'll just be happy to have this guy in the building and they will kind of make room for him at whatever position they want to play. So, place like Texas, I feel like you are opening yourself up for a lot more transfer portal madness if you start to move guys around position wise as soon as they get in the building. You know what I mean? So, there's going to be a lot of open dialogue about guys like Nick Townsend and Ke'Dotie Armstrong, but even guys that we already talked about, like Michael Terry and Jonah Williams, all these guys, they're very positional versatile right now. And that's kind of how high school and even the college level, that's how it's going. A lot of two-way athletes, it seems like, more and more. And colleges are kind of letting it happen, like Travis Hunter. Obviously, if you're going to truly be an elite superstar at both ends, you're going to have to be an incredibly elite athlete. But saw it with Terry Bussey last year as well in the recruiting cycle. Interested to see how Texas A&M uses him, but he's another guy who I could easily see playing both sides of the ball at the next level in the college game. So really interesting to see how these athletes kind of evolve coming up. We're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we'll just talk about the defensive linemen, the really, really big guys for the Texas Longhorns. How's it going, Longhorn Nation? We are back for our final segment talking about Texas 2025 defensive targets on the defensive line. Let's start with Brandon Brown, 6'2", 285 pounds from the state of Florida. He is currently committed to Texas. Honestly, watching this guy, he reminded me of Byron Murphy from Texas. Like I said, a little bit undersized, 6'2", 285 pounds. But that first step quickness was elite from Brandon Brown watching his film. He was a 3-star. I think he's slightly moving up now into that 4-star range. But I do see the vision that Texas had when they sent him an offer and eventually when he committed. Just that Byron Murphy kind of role. I know it's kind of maybe even a, you could say a lazy comp, but I think they have so many similarities where I think it's fair if you're trying to like just think of a player. I try to use past Texas players or really common NFL players that most people would know because it just gives you an idea of that level of prospect. It's not perfect, and obviously I'm not saying that he's going to be, you know, Brandon Brown is not going to be a potential top 20 pick in the NFL draft like Byron Murphy is about to be, but that mold of player, I think that's what Texas was kind of envisioning when giving an offer sheet to Brandon Brown. Similar, like with basically everybody I talk about, but like KJ Lacy and Bryce Young, they get a ton of comps together, but it's really just about how they play, their measurements, just their style of play. That's really what I'm going after when I'm giving these kind of crazy comp comparisons. I did it a lot with the wide receivers as well, honestly. Caleb Cunningham, I said, reminds me of DeAndre Hopkins or CeeDee Lamb. Those are just guys that are, you know, bigger players with, you know, really good hands and really good yards after catch, taller prospects. That is what I'm kind of envisioning when I'm giving these comparisons. And same goes with the defensive line with Brandon Brown. Next up, let's talk about a guy who might actually turn into an edge rusher, and that's Michael Riles, 6'3", 235 pounds currently. Like I said, a little bit undersized for defensive tackle at only 235 pounds, but I think he has the frame to add a lot of weight to that. Tavondre Sweat came into Texas at, I want to say, 260 pounds, and you know, he left 360. So it's possible to get that much weight on a guy by their senior season. And I think Riles is a guy who could potentially do something like that, maybe not 100 pounds, but you know, if he adds another 60, that's 295. That is a defensive tackle kind of weight. If he doesn't, though, I think he could be in that same mold as we saw with Chris Ross, where he kind of transitions into an edge. If he doesn't add those 60-ish pounds to his frame. Chris Ross, obviously, still in the transfer portal, kind of in no man's land. I'm not sure what happened there. It seemed like after his shoulder injury, he just completely, you know, was done with Texas football for whatever reason. I'm not sure, and I didn't really hear specifically what that was about. But either way, I think Michael Riles might be a guy in a similar mold to that kind of player where you bring him in and you know you can find a spot for him. It's just a matter of if you think once you get him in the building, if he can add all that weight or if he can't. And if he can't, then he will transition to that edge rusher role. Currently uncommitted and currently no crystal balls though for him. Next up, we have Zion Williams. This is a little bit of a different mold. He is 6'4", 295 pounds already. Really, really quick hands right off the snap. You can just tell that his hands are already, boom, inside the offensive lineman's chest. Great, great power already. You can see it in his film. It's so obvious. He's just pushing back offensive linemen into the pocket. Really, really long arms, you can tell as well. So when he finally, when you do get his measurements for, say, the NFL Combine, which is going on as we speak, I wouldn't be shocked if you see him with, you know, pretty long arms, 33-inch, 34-inch arms from a guy like Zion Williams. To me, he's kind of the opposite of Brandon Brown in that way. Like I mentioned, he's all about power and long arms, whereas Brandon Brown's all about first step quickness, and kind of just speed in shooting the gaps. So I think these two guys would be perfect complements to each other, and I'd be really excited if Texas only gets two defensive linemen, if it's Brandon Brown and if it's Zion Williams. Both these guys are really, really talented, a little bit lower in the recruiting ranks as of right now, but I feel like both of them are guys who are going to just incrementally jump up the recruiting rankings as we go. Zion Williams, right now for 24/7 Sports, he's a three-star. He is the number 47th defensive lineman, but on the composite, however, he's a four-star and he's a top 300 player. So when 24/7 Sports does update their rankings, I think Zion Williams is a guy who's going to jump up those rankings and kind of follow suit with a lot of the other guys that we talked about already. I think Texas was just a little bit early on offering him. Last guy we'll talk about for the day is Ethan Utley, 6'4", 275 or 270 pounds, excuse me, from the state of Tennessee. He's a guy who still needs to add a little bit of weight himself. 270 pounds, that's right on the cusp of a big hand in the dirt defensive end, or a add 25 pounds to him and slide him on to 4-3 or 1 technique. He played a lot of defensive end in high school. Obviously, he still has a senior season, so we'll see what he plays his senior season, but his junior tape is littered with him, hand in the dirt, defensive end. I'm not really sure if he kind of fits that edge role, though, for Texas. We talked about it with Lance Jackson. It's kind of that Ethan Burke-ish role, but you have to be really good laterally and, just foot speed to really master that role at that weight. You have to be a really special, special athlete. And Ethan Utley could possibly be that, but more natural, I think, would be him adding 20, 25 pounds and sliding into a three technique or a four eye, and just being in that Tavondre Sweat kind of role, that Alfred Collins kind of role. I think that's more natural of a fit for Ethan Utley. Right now, though, Texas isn't really the leader in the clubhouse like they are for guys like Brandon Brown and potentially Zion Williams. They have a little bit of an uphill battle for Utley. It's hard to tell with new defensive line coach Kenny Baker how he's going to be as a recruiter. This is going to be his first cycle as a recruiter for Texas, obviously. So it's going to be a huge one to kind of see where he sets the bar at. Tashard Choice set the bar really, really high. So did Chris Jackson in their first seasons with Texas. So it'll be interesting to see how Kenny Baker does. Obviously, Texas has gotten some really talented defensive linemen in the past, but Bo Davis is all about developing, three and low four-star players like Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat. So even if we don't get those five-star or top 150, top 200 players along the defensive line, I'm not going to throw it out the window that Kenny Baker is a bad defensive line coach. It obviously helps to get those level of talented high school prospects, but it's not the end all be all, especially for defensive line where a ton of growth happens at their age 18 and 19 years. Kind of like we see for the offensive line as well. Kyle Flood does have a lot of five stars under his belt, but he has even more three stars being recruited to Texas every year. So still remains to be seen how those will pan out, but Bo Davis is a perfect example as to why you don't need five stars every single year to have an elite defensive line group, because defensive line was Texas's calling card almost 2 years in a row now. First with Keandre Coburn and Moro Ojomo, then with Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, even one-upping that duo. So next year we'll kind of see if Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton can kind of take the next step as well and become, kind of keep that duo really rolling along the defensive line for Texas. But That'll kind of do it for this week's episode. If you enjoy the podcast, learn something, or just want to support us at Texas Talk, please give us a rating on your podcast platform of choice. It really, really helps out in the algorithm, which I don't fully understand, but I know it's good for it. So please go ahead and do that. What I do understand is that word of mouth helps way more than any algorithm does. So if you have friends or family that love Texas football, please recommend this podcast to them. It will really, really help us. I will be back next week with another Texas Talk podcast. And like I said, I will have a written blog about these 2025 defensive targets as well. So you can kind of get it on paper and read it the old-fashioned way. So thank you all for listening. And as always, hook 'em.